unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
The amount of people I see talking about socialism positively is actually staggering.
Do you think, do you really think that a proletarian revolution is just around the corner in America?
If Bernie Sanders were president, right, and he wanted to bring the same ideas as socialism into this country, do you think that we would benefit?
Yeah.
But I just told you Venezuela is eating rats.
But I just want people to have health care.
Welcome to the Sensible Socialist Podcast. This is our debut episode, so it seems appropriate to start by way of introduction, give you a sense of who I am, what the podcast is about, and why do this podcast, and what I hope to achieve with it. So with that, let's just get right into it. This is the Sensible Socialist Podcast. It's intended to be a sort of place of refuge for those who don't maybe fully identify with the kind of social justice warrior left. I think a lot of people are frustrated with the kind of playing of identity politics, and it seems like a lot of the only people who are talking about that are not people who are really on the left. Many of them will call themselves, you know, classical liberals and speak the language of liberalism. And I think it's important to have a place for leftists, people genuinely on the left who are also concerned about that sort of rise of identity politics, but don't really want to make that big rightward turn and abandon the left just because of that they feel like a lot of the people on the left don't represent it. And so I was watching a debate recently, and one of the sides had said, you know, there are sensible socialists out there, and that's a good thing. We need those voices. We need them to rein in the excesses of the so-called radical left. And I thought to myself, you know, that's really exactly right. Those voices really are needed, and I don't really hear those voices a lot, and I'm really looking for them. And so, you know, with a little bit of hubris and some ability to record my voice, I thought maybe I should add mine to the fray. And so this is me trying to add a sensible socialist perspective to some of the important questions that we're dealing with in our lives today. So I have added some blog posts that I had written previously on my own personal blog. And so that you can check it out at the Sensible Socialist blog. I hope to get a number of listeners sort of engaged and have that blog area be a place that people can contribute and discuss issues without the usual hysterics that some will come along with it. So the structure of the podcast itself, I want to do weekly episodes, probably on Sundays. I can't be sure, though. I mean, things will happen, and I do have a number of, you know, things going on, and so I will definitely try to be consistent and Sundays, but you know, don't hold me to it, because I need to be able to be flexible. So right now, the only host of the Sensible Socialist Podcast is me, but I mean, I'm sure that's going to get annoying and old, but I'd like to have different guests come and talk about issues that they think are important, or that, you know, we're going to discuss. And so maybe they're experts, maybe they just have it as a kind of hobby horse. It doesn't matter to me. I'd like to keep the podcast as open and wide an audience and participants as possible. And so don't have to be an expert. If you're interested in a topic and you want to talk about it, and you feel like you have an interesting perspective or a socialist perspective, or you want to talk to a socialist about it, send an email to sensiblesocialistpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get connected and see what we can do to have an episode. I think dialogues are much more interesting than lectures, and it's just me right now. So if you're interested, send an email and find us on all the social media. It's Sensible Socialist, pretty much at, you know, Sensible Socialist Podcast or Sensible Socialist, you'll find us. I also don't want to limit who could be on the podcast, you know, based on what view they might have. I mean, maybe there's somebody who is on the far right who wants to have a, you know, discussion about white identity politics or something. I'm happy to have a conversation with those people. No one is going to be deplatformed on the Sensible Socials podcast. No one is going to be disallowed to participate. The best disinfectant of some bad ideas usually is light, and so we're not going to keep them. We're going to deal with them, discuss them, and hash them out with people. And so if you're looking to be shielded from difficult facts or ideas you don't like, this may not be the podcast for you. I don't know exactly how long each episode is actually going to be. It will depend on the content and if there is a guest or if it's just me. So this episode is just introductory, so it's going to be pretty short. Others could be upwards of 2 or 3 hours long. It really just sort of depends. So, you know, it'll be longer or shorter depending on what happens. I do plan on doing Ask Me Anything episodes, probably once every 10 or so podcasts. I just think that that's a good way to keep the audience engaged and, you know, maybe somebody doesn't have enough to participate in a whole episode, but they want a question answered, or I said something that they didn't agree with and they want me to talk about it. I think those are beneficial to have, and they're good for participants of the podcast. I don't want it to just be me sort of rambling on about what I think about stuff. I want to do my best to, I don't know, educate, I guess is the right word. So send questions, and I'll pick some of the best ones for an AMA episode, and we'll kind of go from there, and we'll refine it as we go along. It's just starting. So who am I? Why am I doing this podcast, and what do I have to offer? Why do I think I can do this? My name's Kevin, and I'm a American, you know, white male in my early 30s. I grew up in a small town in Minnesota. I've lived a few different places around the U.S., traveled to different places in the world. Not everywhere for sure, but, you know, somewhat well-traveled, I guess. I did move to D.C. about 4 or 5 years ago to go to law school. And so I live in D.C. now in one of the nice little row houses with my wife and a comrade roommate. And we have two kittens who are named Chell and Draco. I did study law, so I did graduate, passed the D.C. bar, so I am a lawyer. I am learning how to fly airplanes, so I'm a student pilot. I do a fair amount of writing that you can see at the Sensible Socialist blog. I'm also finishing up the manuscript to the first novel. That is not super great, but if you're interested in that, hopefully that'll be finished up by the end of the year. I also do play drums, so I recently released an EP with the band that I play in called Operation Death Squad. You can check that out at odspunk.com, and I'm also getting involved in some projects with a number of different like DJs and other electronic artists, which I think would be real fun, so take a look at that. I do some, I'm kind of interested in space issues, and so I do some recreations of some missions on a game called Kerbal Space Program. So you can find that on my YouTube page. If you just look up Kevin Gustafson and maybe Kerbal Space Program, you'll definitely find some of my videos. And then since I've been in school quite a bit, I consider myself a researcher. I do quite a bit of research on a number of different topics, and that usually goes into what I eventually write. And so lawyer, pilot, writer, musician, researcher. I studied philosophy and political science at a small state school in Minnesota, and graduated when the economy was tanking in 2008. And so I went back to school to get a master's of public administration, trying to get a good government job with the benefits and union pay and all of that good stuff. And it was still 2010 by the time I was done, and the government had laid off pretty much everybody. And so I got into working in the foreclosure defense and sort of bankruptcy and creditors' rights field of the law in 2010, and did that for quite a few years until I realized that I was either going to go to law school or I was going to be a paralegal for the rest of my life. And so I bit the bullet, took the LSAT, went to law school. I studied international humanitarian law and human rights, which is the law of war, and human rights at American University, Washington College of Law. I would consider myself a Marxist. I guess that, I think, depending on the context, makes me a socialist, makes me a communist. It gives me a perspective on how to kind of see the world. It isn't a religion or, you know, some kind of dogma. It's very much a perspective to me that is useful to being able to see how things are moving, what's moving, why they're moving, and maybe where they're going. And I think that, you know, I don't think that Marx was right about everything. I think there's actually quite a bit that he got wrong, but the general perspective is a good one and a useful one. And so I've studied it for about 15 years now. I came to it when I was about 15, when, you know, I had a sort of atheist awakening, and I learned about animal rights and became a vegetarian. And there was a line from a song of a band I really like called Propagandhi, who said, you know, when you recognize one form of oppression, you have to recognize the rest. And the way that I came to the left was I had had a standard Minnesota education, I guess, and I learned that, you know, Stalin is equal to Hitler, if not worse, and so communism is the worst, and it means dictatorship and death and gulags and Stalin and war, and, you know, Hitler was kind of a socialist too, and all of those kinds of things, and America beat them. And so American capitalism is obviously better. So when I was, and I believed all that, called myself a libertarian because I was never really in favor of the government. I was always kind of anti-authoritarian and people telling me what to do. Basically, I was kind of a rebellious kid. And so when, I was in a English class, we had to do an Oxford style debate, so vote at the beginning, opening arguments, and the whole nine yards, and I wanted to do a debate that I thought I was going to lose. And so I said, I'm going to argue that America should adopt a communist form of government. That's how much I knew at the time. And so I, to prepare for the debate, I actually read like the Communist Manifesto, and I read Socialism, Utopian, and Scientific. And I don't know if I really understood everything, but one thing I did understand was that I had been taught a lie about what the philosophy of Marx really was and what they were really talking about. And it was something completely different. So I actually got a little bit more confidence in my debate, and I thought, oh man, I can actually like argue for this. This actually sounds pretty good. It's about justice, equality, democracy, freedom. I mean, it's not the Soviet Union. And so I had the debate, and it started out, you know, the beginning of the debate, the motion was America should adopt a communist form of government, and the entire class, about 30 kids, against, of course. And so we have the about an hour long debate. And I argued pretty vehemently for the socialist case. And at the end of the debate, it had turned basically 100% on the other side. So I had, through, I guess, the power of the argument, convinced at least my peers, who were young, but I had convinced them that there was something to this. And so I thought that there was something to this. And so I began reading more and finding out more and learning a lot more about the history of socialism and really a whole period of time and a whole ideology that I just hadn't been exposed to in school at all. And I had taken all of the social studies classes. I had taken European history and AP history and this and that, and never really had heard about it. And So I spent a few years in school really learning and educating myself about it, getting a bit more, I suppose, radical. That was my radicalization. When I was 18, I was upset with my economics teacher for not having at least one day on alternative economic ideas. And so I told him, why don't you have a day on socialism or a day on, you know, Islamic banking or just some other ideas that's not just capitalism 101? And he kind of was a good teacher and said, why don't you do it? And so I was pretty confident and I thought the ideas were justifiable and righteous. And so I did it. And the lecture went pretty decent and I had a good time. And I think people did get educated about it. And so he asked me to come back the next semester and then the next semester. And I've been doing that ever since I graduated, which has been, you know, about 12 years now or so. And so, well, maybe even more than that. So I've had a great ability to communicate with younger people about this issue and sort of seen the change from when I was going to school where nobody knew about it, nobody cared. You know, that's when I first learned about Bernie Sanders, and that was, I was, you know, about 15 years ago, and I thought, oh man, what if this guy ran for president? What a difference that would make. And so it's really been a pretty significant change in the last 15 years that I've somewhat been able to be a part of and to view from a bit of a position of sort of academia. At the same time, while I was giving all of those lectures, I've been involved in different socialist organizations, from the Socialist Workers Party, the Communist Party, Socialist Alternative, Youth for Socialist Action, and a number of different socialist groups in different places that I've lived. Have done things from helping to organize immigrant farm labor to sitting in homes, occupying them to make sure that they were not, that the residents were not evicted because of, you know, during the height of the foreclosure crisis. I have been arrested on the streets of Minneapolis and in Orlando for giving out food. And yeah, so I've been involved. I was involved in Occupy when that started. That was a very important thing for me in terms of learning a lot of lessons about leadership and organization and actually achieving goals that might have good ideas behind them and actually a lot of people behind them, but not enough organization to really accomplish the goal. So that's kind of a really quick background on sort of me and where I come to this. I'm not necessarily an expert. I do think that I know some things. I've read quite a bit on, you know, from Lenin and Trotsky to Bakunin and Proudhon and a bunch of other people. And so, you know, I feel fairly educated about it, but I'm also here. Part of this idea of doing the podcast is to learn from other people who know more than I do. And so I hope to have those kinds of conversations and interactions with people so that I can learn more and we can all get a bit smarter and a bit more knowledgeable on what we can really do together. So, you know, I want to kind of retain humility enough to know that I don't know everything and to kind of keep a pulse on what I actually don't know. Because I think, you know, that is what Socrates called wisdom. And I'd like to try to get closer to that, as close to that as I can. So, What's the point? Why do this? One, I do want to try to be a bit of a place for people who feel squeamish around the hysterics of some of the people on the left. I think that outrage is important and can be motivating, but there's a point when it gets counterproductive, and I'm not sure that that's where everyone is, and that's fine. I don't necessarily make a judgment about that. I just am looking for myself for a place where we can have discussions about issues with a little bit removed from some of those hysterics, where we can look at the issues with a bit of a sober mind and try to really identify what we can do and maybe answer some hard questions. And so at the same time, I want it to be entertaining. I want it to be interesting. It is a chance for me, obviously, to express myself but it's really, I want it to be a place where I can meet other people who think in some ways it's similar to me, maybe even differently from me, and that we can kind of hash out differences in a way that it doesn't devolve into screaming matches or people getting angry or sad or anything like that. Because I don't know, you know, if you're out there listening to this, you might feel like I do, which is that it can be pretty lonely when you genuinely care about issues of social justice, but you don't really feel like they can be discussed in a way that is actually going to help the issues that you really care about. And so I hope that this is a place where some of those discussions that I think are really, really needed can actually happen. So I want to create a community here, and I need other people and listeners of the podcast to participate in that. So it means I want to hear from you. Hit me up on social media, send an email, get in contact in any way that you can, because having more back and forth and discussions with a number of different people will really be the thing that this podcast will be useful and really something that isn't just me being self-indulgent. So I don't want it to be a place where it's a sort of place to virtue signal and then we just sort of go home and watch TV or something like that. I want it to be sort of robust and hard and really to the point. So it's not like a place to show off and show how much you know about this or that, you know, topic. It's a place to learn and interact. And Bhaskar Shankar, who is the editor of Jacobin magazine, had said at an event that I went to that they like to think of themselves as sort of no bullshit Marxism. And I think that maybe this podcast will have a little bit of bullshit, but I'd like to, you know, keep that to a minimum and not sort of use the sort of language of the left so that people who aren't already on it don't understand what we're talking about. And so, you know, an on-the-point discussion in a way that's accessible to a lot of different people, not as a place to show off, as a place to learn. I want you to be a part of it. If you need a platform or you're looking for a play, like you have these ideas and you just didn't think that some of the big, you know, big players would want to have you on their podcast, I'll have you on the podcast. So reach out to me and let me know what you know and what you want to talk about and what you think is important for other people to know, and we'll get you on the podcast and we'll talk about it. You know, a lot of people that have good voices are not being elevated by mainstream and even like the YouTube run, you know, Apple, iTunes and Audible kinds of systems. And so those voices need to be elevated and I want to elevate them. So in sort of conclusion, as we kind of just wrap up this beginning episode and, you know, hopefully you feel a little bit more knowledgeable about what we're going to do. I'm not perfect and, you know, I'm a human being. So I'm going to make mistakes and I'll say things that are wrong, but I'm going to go out there and do it. So, you know, if I say something that isn't sort of right or you think is really off the mark, let me know and I will try to correct myself. I have to be able to be corrected. And so, you know, give me a break. If you have topic ideas, you know, send them my way. I'm happy to talk about a lot of different ideas and want to talk about what people actually sort of find interesting. So I do want to just run through kind of the plan for a few of the next episodes to give you an idea of what we're going to talk about. Again, the subject to change because, you know, if somebody has a good idea or something comes up and it should be talked about, then we're going to talk about it. So the first few episodes, I think, are kind of more introductory. Going to talk, have a definitions episode. So the next episode, we're just going to kind of talk about what I mean when I say socialism or communism or Marxism or anarchism or all those kinds of things. And what do I really, what do those words mean and how are they used and why is it important to define the words and how are they misused and how has that been used as a sort of propaganda for a lot of different players, some of them, you know, on both sides, I guess, of the coin. So that, I think, is an important episode that if you're coming at it, you know, if you hear just a random episode, it might be useful to go back to episode 2 and kind of figure out what I'm actually talking about. So other episodes that would be coming up in the future, we're going to do an episode on the Communist Manifesto. There'll be a supplemental to that where it's actually just the straight up text of the Communist Manifesto. It's not very long, and so I figure I'll just read it and we'll have an episode on it, and so you'll be able to hear it and not, so you don't have to read it, because I know a lot of people prefer to listen to audio instead of reading. And so since it's not very long, we can do it. And then we'll have a discussion about what it really means, how it's still relevant, is it still relevant, and what it really means. And so that'll be an episode, an early episode. We'll have an episode on capitalism. Actually, what is capitalism? You know, socialism is the critique. And so knowing what it is really important, and what it sort of isn't. And so we'll look at different sort of actually existing capitalism and laissez-faire ideas, Austrian economists and New Dealers, different kinds of Keynesians, the kind of diversity that capitalism really is. It isn't a monolith that even many people on the left sort of think it is. So then we'll have an episode on socialism. If you have an episode on capitalism, you know, let's have an episode on socialism. What is it that we really mean by that word when we use it, and what is it not, and how is it maybe misused, and have questions about Bernie and different things like that. We'll have an episode on Marx. It's not too far off from the 200th anniversary. This is the 200th anniversary year of Marx's birth, and so we'll talk about who actually Karl Marx was, so the man, not the myth. What do we know about him, and what were his contributions, you know, aside from the manifesto? What else was he doing? What else did he write? What were his ideas, and how did they change the world? We have an episode on Friedrich Engels. I think a lot of people, there's not enough discussion on Friedrich Engels. He's actually an amazing person and really contributed a lot to Marxist ideas. And so I think an episode on Engels would be really good. So, but we'll talk about like things like dialectical materialism. What is that? And what does it mean? Revolution, actually existing socialism. So like, what about the Soviet Union? I'd like to talk about Jordan Peterson and Jacobin, universal basic income and socialism in America, and, you know, talk about Leon Trotsky, identity politics, guns, a lot of different issues. So if you're interested about different topics and want to hear the discussion about it from a sensible socialist perspective, let's talk about it. We'll talk about, you know, mental health in Venezuela and supply side economics and Lenin and Mao and all sorts of different things. So if you're looking for a podcast and you don't want to have to deal with all the nonsense, come to the Sensible Socialist Podcast and we'll have some discussions. So with that, thanks for checking out the first episode. I hope I've piqued your interest, and we will come back next week with some discussion about definitions, what the words actually mean and what they don't mean, and how we're going to be using them as we continue on with the podcast. So with that, thanks. My name is Kevin, and I am right now currently the host of the Sensible Socialist Podcast. Thanks for checking it out. Check out the blog, and let's start a conversation today. All right. Thanks a lot, and see you next Sunday.
Work for the government, you're here to work the room. Gonna analyze us all, that's all you're here to do. You think you're clever, but we see right through your lies. You're trying to infiltrate into that we despise. Fuck up the state! Fuck up the state! Fuck up the state! Fuck up the state! laughter will knock you to the ground.